Hello, this is John Galloway.
And this is Jesse Liberty.
And this is the Full Stack Videocast, a pair programming experiment where we build out a full working application spanning from server to web and phone and everything else in between while you watch.
John.
Hey, Jesse.
How are you, John?
Good, I'm doing great.
It's been at least a few hours since the last time we did a video.
It has. So we have been busy. I mean, we've presented on Full Stack at some conferences, and we've kind of finished it up for, excuse me, I should say, who is that, or who is that application?
Yes.
And we have got it deployed and working for some value of working, but we kind of wanted to move on to another application, right?
Right. Why finish what you're working on when you can start something new and cool?
Well, and some of that was that we ran across some things that we would do differently now in Mango, and you know, things coming up in Azure, and so we thought, why don't we kind of start with a fresh app and then kind of circle back and maybe update who is that later?
Sounds right.
Yep. So we decided an app that we both thought would be not just cool but also useful is a Pomodoro app, right?
Right. The basic premise of a Pomodoro. What's the Pomodoro site? I'll actually go there. It's
Pomodoro Technique. There you go. Yep.
And this is a great site, PomodoroTechnique.com, that tells you all about how you use a Pomodoro. The essence is that you work for 25 minutes, and then you take a 5-minute break, and then you work for another 25 minutes. You do that 4 times, take a half-hour break. It's very focused work, and you don't accept interruptions during your 25 minutes.
So that's that's a really key thing, is that when you're doing a 25-minute, Pomodoro, that's all you're doing. And if an interruption comes up, you write it down. You say, oh, yeah, remember, I got to email Bob about this thing. And then you keep working. And so you keep interruption, you push it off until after your 25-minute Pomodoro is complete. And so it really helps focus what you're doing for that period of time.
All right, so what we decided to do was to spike out a quick and dirty prototype, which we did. Let's see if I can show that. This is very rough, but the idea is that you have tasks and you can add new tasks to the task list. And then you can set one of them to be the current task. And when you're ready, you start the timer. Here we're counting how many successful Pomodoros we completed and how many busted Pomodoros. A busted Pomodoro would be when one of those interruptions really takes over, and so you're not focused for the 25 minutes.
Right. And so that's good to track to see how you're doing, see how focused you're able to keep.
Yes, and when I was testing the audio, I set up this thing that says, this is the ticking sound. I'm not sure I can stop that. Let's see if we can. Yeah, I'm going to have to shut that thing down. Stop that.
Well, we got the idea there. Yeah.
Right.
And you know, if people are watching and aren't familiar with Pomodoros, the whole tomato thing might throw you off, but the idea comes from the old-fashioned tomato-shaped kitchen timer. And people started using these. They would just set the timer on their desk or in the hip coffee shop of their choice, and they would sit there and work while the thing ticks away, reminding them that they're kind of on the clock, and it actually, you know, rings when you're done. So
right. So our Pomodoro timer could tick by making some sort of soft, subtle sound. And
yep.
Whatever your done sound will be.
And we actually worked on that, and I showed that at Dev Connections using background audio. So that's something we'll probably roll into our working app maybe at some point, at least an option.
Which is a new thing in Mango as well.
Yeah.
So this is spiked out code. You can tell it's very, very rough. What we're going to do now, I believe, is to start over. All right, let's open up Visual Studio and create a new version of the Pomodoro app. We'll say new project, and let's put this under videos full stack and call it, we want it to be an MVVM Lite WP71 application. And we'll call it Pomodoro.
Okay. And so by using that project template, that sets up MVVM Lite for us.
And also, it tells it that it's a 7.1, that is a Mango application.
Okay.
So we start out with a folder called View Model, which has the main view model and the view model locator. We have an empty model folder, and we don't have a view folder yet, although we'll probably want to add one. So since we have done a little bit of design on this, let's go in and work on the design that we have is that we have a user class, and the user class has tasks. Mm-hmm. And so we have a task class as well. Why don't we start with the simpler one, which is the user class?
Okay. And as we kind of worked on prototyping things, we did some of these constructing first, and some of them using consume first, where you just type the code and then it says, oh, you don't have that property, and you hit control dot and create it. But that can be a little confusing to watch, so we're actually just going to create the classes first, right?
At least a first approximation. So for the user, we've got user name, and then we're going to have a collection of tasks, which we'll call task list. So let's add an observable collection of task called task list, and it's going to come up and say, well, first of all, I don't know what an observable collection is, so let's add the object model. And then it's going to say, I don't know what a task is, so we can ask it to generate a class for task, which it does in the model, and we'll have to go in there and clean that up, of course. And then we also want to know what our current task is. That'll also be a public property. So these are all public properties. And then we're going to have a simple constructor that will take a username. So let's give that a string and call it username. And in the constructor, we'll say, we'll initialize our task list.
And as you're typing, so my guess from what you're doing here, the idea is that we've got a user that holds on to the information for the application, and they have some different things. Right now, we know that, you know, we're tracking some basic information about them, and then also they're going to have a list of tasks.
Exactly.
So when we fire up the app, we can load up the user, and from there, we have all the information we need to go forward.
Right. So we have, at the moment, a fairly simple user, fairly straightforward, three properties and a constructor for getting it initialized. Let's go ahead and go to the task class. That we're going to have to do a little bit more incrementally because there's going to be a whole lot of stuff in the task class. But we can begin with the elements of the task class, the properties, which are the name and description, and then how many Pomodoros we expect for the task, how many Pomodoros we actually completed, and how many were busted, that is, interrupted too much to continue. So I'll just drop those properties in.
Okay, so we've got those three things, completed, busted, and expected. Those are just counters, right?
Exactly. And we're going to need a constructor right away, I think, that takes a name and a description and the expected Pomodoros and initializes up an instance. So I'll go ahead and do that. Public task, and it's going to take a name and a description and the number for the expected Pomodoros. And in that constructor, we'll just set the property name to name and description to description and expected Pomodoros to expected Pomodoros. And we can initialize the completed Pomodoros to zero and the busted Pomodoros to zero. So we have a working constructor now that will create an instance of a task.
Now, I would have thought enter initialized to zero. I can't remember correctly, though.
I like to make it nice and explicit myself.
Yeah.
Okay. So our next step is to go to main page, And because this is an MVVM Lite application, some binding is already in place. For example, the application title and page name are bound, as is a welcome message. We don't need the welcome message, but if we build the application, we can see what that looks like. Whoa.
Okay, I think here, did you update to the newest version of MVVM Lite?
I may not have done it. Let's do that before we do anything else. Let's go to NuGet.
Okay, so the project template, because of the project template, it's kind of frozen in time, and it's got a specific version of the MVVM Lite. But then by dropping the NuGet MVVM Lite on top of that, it's going to update it to whatever's current right now. And then it also, NuGet will be able to update that. We're closer.
Yes.
Now we just need to make some
something
private things.
Something is marked
public.
So what is marked private? Is it in?
I'm going to guess it's task.
It's in task. It's got to be. Public. Where do you see internal? Look at that.
Yep.
And that's because we had to generate that, right? Okay. And so that was more restrictive than the thing that was calling it. Build succeeded. Excellent. And if we run it, and the first time you run the emulator, it takes a few seconds for the emulator to fire up, which is why we then don't close the emulator, but keep it running. Okay, here comes our application. And there is the welcome message and the name that we get for default for the application and for the page. So let's stop the application. Just clean that up really quickly by going to View Model, Main View Model. Let's take out the welcome message and change the application title from MVVM Lite to Pomodoro. And the Metro guidelines say that has to be all caps. And the page name should
task list or
be lowercase. We could call it task list. That would be fine.
Okay.
And go back to main page. Let's save that. Go back to mainpage.xaml and take out the welcome message.
So instead, I know we've got a few things based on your prototype or spike code. You've got a list of tasks. And you've also got some, you know, tracking and timers and that kind of stuff.
Right. Well, we could start by putting in the list of tasks. That would be a reasonable first thing to do on this page. So let's just drop a stack panel as a placeholder because I know we're going to want to put things above the list. And then we can put in our list box. And I'm going to just copy over some values from the last time that I spiked this out. We can clean these up later. Horizontal alignment we'll set to left. Margin, and I recognize that these values are seemingly arbitrary, but I know that they put the list box into a reasonable place. And as I say, we'll clean them up once we get going. Let's give this a name. Task list box. And we need a vertical alignment. And what am I missing? Oh, yeah, the width. Now, rather than making this self-closing, I'm going to use a regular tag and a closing tag because we want to add a data template for how to display the name and description from the task.
Okay, and that's because you're going to be throwing a list of tasks that has more than one thing at it, right?
Exactly. A list of tasks that has only one task isn't a list.
I mean, well, right, but also that each task has a name, description.
Exactly. And so it has to know what to display. And so by giving it a data template, we're telling it what to display for each one. So the first thing, let's see, we're going to put a stack panel so that we can have more than one thing in our data template. And inside the stack panel, we'll put a text block. And here's where it gets interesting because we want to pick up the text for that text block from the task itself. So we want to say binding to name. And we can close that off. And then let's just move this over so we have a little bit more room. Then we have text block. Text equal binding to description. Okay, that's our data template, our item template, and our stack panel. Let's just get rid of some of the white space.
So do you have to set, how does the list box know what it's binding to?
Well, the list box is going to know what it's binding to through the data context, but what we need to set is the item source for the list box to say what list it should use. So that was a good catch if that's what you were asking. So we'll say item source equal, and once again we'll say binding, and we're going to have a list called tasks that it can bind to.
Okay, and that'll be in the view model.
And that will be in the view model, as will the name and description will be in the view model as well. All three of those need to be public properties in the view model.
And then that data context at the top, I think you showed earlier, that's passed in via the view model locator. So there's kind of a separation there where we're not hard coding in here anything saying this is, I mean, I guess we're telling it it's going to have a main view model type, but it's the source is coming from the locator. I don't know if that made any sense.
Okay. Yes, it does have the flexibility.
I'm trying to read XAML.
It has the flexibility you're implying. But yeah. We need to make sure that we have these properties, these public properties, and that they get initialized properly. So I think the next thing to do is to go into the main view model and create tasks with descriptions and names in the task list. Yes?
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to mainviewmodel.cs. We can minimize or collapse at least the application title and the page name. And what we want now is to have a list of tasks that's a public property. So we're going to say public IEnumerable, which is the most generic kind of list, IEnumerable of, and we'll call it tasks. And then what we want in our getter is interesting. We want to get that list from the user. So we need to return a task list from the user, which means we need to have some object that represents the user.
So the view model will have a user and a task list. Or the user will hold the task list.
The user will hold the task list and the view model needs access. So let's make an instance of the user from the model. And now we can ask that user to give us the task list. It's essentially a pass-through. So what this is saying is, we have a public property on main view model called tasks, whose getter goes to user, which is an instance of model.user, a property of type model.user. So it returns a user, and we ask that user for the task list.
Okay.
All right. We also need a... We're going to need to keep track of the current task, and that's going to be a property as well. Now,
current task meaning the current selected, the current task you're working on.
Correct. Let's hold off on that for a bit, because that's a property that interacts with the UI, and come down to the constructor, and notice there's code here. For does it run in Blend or does it run for real? And what we want...
Now, I don't think we need to make any changes to the constructor in the view model, do we?
Isn't
that passed
right.
in from the locator?
You're absolutely okay. Right. So let's go to the... Do we want to go to the locator and...
I think so.
Okay.
Because at this point, we have a view model, and the view is bound to it. But using MVVM Lite, you can initialize and set up your view models in the locator before passing them in.
So we come into the view model locator.
And look at all that beautiful commenting.
Yes, indeed. Well, it does give you some help when you're your way through. Okay, so in view model locator, the first thing that we're going to want to do is to come up here to this design versus runtime.
And that is useful. The pattern he's got set up there is if you're in design mode, use some dummy data so that you can work in Blender and Visual Studio Designer and otherwise create the runtime view models.
Right. What we're going to do is have it do the same thing whether we're in design mode or we're in real mode. We're going to call our own method create test user. Let's start by view model.
And that's just for now to get started, right? I mean, later
exactly.
Create test, we're going to use real data later in that second case.
Exactly correct. Now we need a member variable user for this to work, so let's go ahead and add that. And for user to be understood, we need to include the model.
Okay,
and then finally we need to create test user method. So let's let it stub that out for us. And what we want the create test user method to do is to create an instance of a user and to go and create an instance of the task list. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead, come down to create test user. And the first thing that we'll say is user, we can just call it u equal new user, and that constructor takes a user name, so we'll say test for now. And then we have a task list, and we're going to set that to a new observable collection of tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need to initialize that. So let's come down here and initialize that with a new task, which takes three parameters. So we're going to say test. And then for the description, we'll say description of test. And then for the number of expected Pomodoros, we'll say one. And then let's hit that with a comma and do another one. Okay?
Okay.
New task. And that way we'll have two in our collection. So that'll be test two. And that'll be test two description. And we'll say that one expects one as well. So now we have a task list that has two new tasks hardwired into it to get us started.
And now we have to return that user from that method.
Right. So type return 7up. The other thing that we want to do is go down into the create main, I believe it is, and set the user on main to the member variable under bar user.
Right.
Which will get us the instance we need. So let's come down to create main and say main.user equal underbar user.
Okay. So this is a pattern we kind of, through some prototyping we've been playing with, but the idea is that the view model locator, when it initializes the view models, can pass in and do some basic setup for them. It does seem like a nice kind of way to coordinate and orchestrate all that. It does seem, you know, it's kind of a little bit like a God object, which can be a problem, but it seems so far to be pretty clean.
Yes, and I think, and it's scoped nicely, so I don't think it's a God. It may be a demigod. let's see if this builds. It builds. We're done. Ship it.
All right. I'll talk to you next week.
Should we make this run? Is this going to work? Are we missing anything for it to bring that up? Let's try it. Kind of a frightening thing. Hey, there's our list.
Excellent.
That's truly excellent. Okay, but that's not what we're here for. What we're here for is the ability to add to this list and edit the list.
Mm-hmm. And otherwise, this would be great. You knock off those two tasks and you're done.
Right, exactly. So we need to modify this slightly to be able to go ahead and add to this list and edit this list. And are we doing that this week, or are we going to save that for the next episode? I think that's the second episode, don't you?
Yeah, okay.
There's a lot of knowing that, yes.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I bet we could pretty quickly hook up an application bar and link it to another page without a lot of...
Every time you say we could do this pretty quickly, I'm in for an hour of scratching my head. All right.
If you would like to at that point, that's fine.
I think we should
quit
while we're ahead.
That sounds good. That's good.
All right.
So next,
go ahead. So next time, go ahead.
So next time we can work on modifying this list, create an edit screen that allows adding or editing different tasks.
That sounds right.
Okay.
So with this done for Microsoft, this is Jesse Liberty.
And this is John Galloway, and this is the Full Stack.